Niggas usually just start rapping after 4 bars, nigga, go in. La 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 Wednesday, and this is Ray, Tall Rayside.
Yeah, man, it is Tay, Eric Taylor, and listen, we're here to heal you and get you over the hump and the stress of the work week and yada yada. So listen, join us on the fun, the adventure. There's nothing better than just having a good time talking some sports and just getting some information for those who are just addicted to it, you know. So hit us up. 718-664-9098. The Gmail is raeandtaytoday@gmail.com. You know, subscribe to our iTunes and check out Ray and Tay Today on iTunes. You got the Facebook, and also hit us on the tweet us at Twitter at Ray and Tay Today. So, Ray, let them know what we're going to jump into the show, because it's going to be good.
Yeah, we're action-packed for you today. So we've got breaking news, which actually is a lot of injury news. There's a lot of banged-up folks out there, especially, you know, NFL players.
That's why I'm like, hey, mama.
Yeah, you know, we're going to review the Monday Night Football game between Detroit and Chicago, the battle of the NFC North, or the NFC Norris Division. We're going to preview the Thursday night football game, Tampa Bay at Minnesota. We've got our Where You At segment. I think you like this one. We got two quarterbacks from the 80s, college football option.
A special
style.
One, right? From the biggest college football game of the week. We had to you know, tie it together, man.
Exactly. We had to tie it like a bow. And then finally, we got our World Series preview with the game one of the World Series starting tonight, Verlander and Zito. So let's start us off with some. First of all, let's start with the fact that Ozzie Guillen got fired. So in his first year with the Florida Marlins, he got off to a bad start with that whole Fidel Castro comment, especially in Miami with all the Cuban and Cuban American population down there. But I guess ultimately he just didn't win enough games, and they got rid of him. They terminated his contract.
Kind of surprised, but then I get it. I understand, and, you know, what can you say? And, you know, of course, you know, we talked about it before, but the Red Sox had fired Valentine, and then they – who's the guy they hired? He's the Red Sox guy.
Farrell, the pitching coach.
Yeah, so
– Ron Farrell.
I kind of feel like, you know, teams are going to start to make their changes soon. It seems like it's heating up. There might be a couple other guys to, you know, to get fired, but you never, like to hear about that, but – let's talk about these injuries, man, because it's not looking too good. And it looks like also this might be the final preseason game for the Knicks and Nets, baby, MSG, Brooklyn. But also, wait, I got to tell you like this, right? For those who don't know, the New York Islanders are leaving Long Island and moving to the Barclays Center, moving to Brooklyn. That's big news. That's kind of crazy right there. So, you know, we'll see tonight the Brooklyn Nets and the New York Knicks coming up at 7:30. But, wow, that's kind of crazy.
The hockey
right
move
there.
Was inevitable. I mean, Uniondale's a terrible facility, the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum, if anybody's ever been out there. And Charles Wong needs to, he needs to just sell the team and then get some new ownership in there because – you know, that Islander team has not been drawing and not been relevant for better part of 15, 20 years.
I
we were big Islander
really
fans
well
in
Brooklyn,
the early
though.
80s, one for the thumb until the until Edmonton Oilers really took over in the mid 80s. But
Messier,
yeah, we were big
Gretzky, Fuhr, all those cats, man, they were tough. But anyway, let's talk about these injuries. But I do say this. Shout out to them because I think the Islanders and Nets together in Brooklyn, that's just going to be great for Brooklyn and the stadium and just more. But right now, hockey can't even get it together to have a season. So
they don't deserve our time.
They really don't. So, okay, so peep this out, right? It looks like Nate Burleson done for the season. Sean Lee, linebacker, the best linebacker probably for the Cowboys, great tackler, done for the season. We already told you about Fred Davis done for the season. Beeson, the linebacker, who played last year but was injured the year before, he's done for the season again.
Yeah.
And it's just, oh, the Panthers are just jacked up. Then you've got your boy MJD, sprained foot, but it's looking like he's going to miss a lot more than 2 or 3 weeks. So
he's
not done for the season.
Liz Frank, which would shut
down. Exactly,
he's
not done for the season. But so that means on the fantasy front, right, hey, you got to go scoop up Rashard Jennings, you know. I mean, not like the – and let's be honest, if you got running backs, it's not like you really need Jennings because, to be all honest, the offense is not that good. Blaine Gabbert might miss this week. It's still not sure yet because it wasn't his throwing arm, the shoulder that he hurt, but it was, you know, the other arm, so his left one. So we don't know if he's going to miss the game or not. But he's banged up, so they might have Henny and Jennings in there, and the Jaguars' offense is just jacked up. All they got is Cecil Shorts to throw to because Mercedes Lewis doesn't show up. Greg Jennings is going to see a groin specialist, so he might be out again. So, you know, hey, he might not re-sign there with his contract being up, and Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson might just take over, you know, with James Jones as the third receiver. Then your boy Victor Cruz is like, yo, I'm kind of no joke. Why don't you guys sign me now? I'm kind of the bee's knees. I think the Giants should give me a contract pretty soon.
Pay me.
And guess what? They need to pay him.
They really
He's
do.
Making
Especially nation. Because Hakeem Nicks is so injury prone. He can't get on the field, and Victor Cruz is the man either as the one receiver or the 1A receiver. So
yeah. He's
the guy that's showing up every week.
Durable, small, but durable, and guess what? He gets yaks, yards after the catch, and he gets touchdowns. So to me, even if Nicks is there, Cruz is exactly 1-1A. I mean, to me, he's a number one receiver. You could say whatever you want about him, but he's, you know, he's a stud. So I think we pretty much covered all, you know, all the injuries and stuff. You know, we already told you about Nate Kading and his issues. It's you know, DeMarco Murray probably will not play again this week. But it's Thursday, you know, listen, it's Wednesday. We got the Thursday night game coming up. But let's just, real quick, we'll just touch on it. How about them Bears? Now, listen, people want to get on Cam Newton, Ray. People want to get on your boy Cam Newton. But what about Matthew Stafford? He and that Detroit offense is straight cabbage. They're doing nothing. They're garbage. They're doing nothing. Stafford's having not that great of a year. Horrible passes, everything. I don't know. What do you
think? But we have our champs and chumps segment. Typically on Monday we talk about the weekend. But I got to think, if we did the NFL season thus far, that the Detroit Lions would probably be the underachieving chumps of the year thus far. 2-4, 1-3 on the road, 1-1 at home, only scored 7 points. Now, the Bears are a good team, don't get me wrong, but they only scored 7 points.
And they were lucky to get that. He barely got it to Broyles, the last play in the back of the end zone on their second to last drive.
Right.
It was,
they were shut out through most of the game. And this is an offense that, you know, they have talent on defense. This is an offense that, other than a steady running game, I mean, they got great skill position players, with, you would think, right, with Stafford and Calvin Johnson and even, you know, Titus Young and Nate Burleson. And
Pettigrew, who's dropping
Pettigrew.
Everything. He killed me.
And then,
lost
you know,
in fantasy because of that clown Pettigrew, please.
And you figure the running back by committee, maybe they don't have a great runner, but you figure between coming into the season, you figured if Javid Best could get over his
concussion. And LeSure's running good. He's running
right,
strong.
Michael LeSure and this kid Jacques Bell and Kevin Smith. So you figure by committee they did enough to run, and then they have that unbelievable defensive line, and you figured they were trending up from last year. You didn't expect them to be 2-4. I mean, and not only are they 2-4, but their division is running away from them. The Packers may have finally gotten it together, but the Vikings are 5-2,
and
you
could
know,
possibly be 6-2 after tomorrow night.
Yeah, and the Bears are the Bears are 5-1. So not only did the Lions fall asleep for the first six games, Now they woke up in a cold sweat and a nightmare because they're in last place in their division, and all three of the teams in their division ahead of them look like they're legitimate. I mean, maybe the Vikings will come back down to earth, but the Lions are in a lot of trouble. The Lions,
you know, it's
like,
funny. Maybe the Lions were hibernating and thought they were bears.
I don't know what.
But anyway, listen, it's a mess, and we'll leave that alone. Let me say this, Sue. It was not a dirty hit. The NFL didn't fine him. Cutler said it was clean. Sue, that, like I said, but when we previewed the game, I said it was a battle of the two defensive lines, and I was 100% correct because those boys were going at it. And let me just say, shout out to Tillman. I got him on my fantasy team in our defensive battle league on the Scottsdale Steelers, you know what I'm saying, holding it down. And, yo, your boy Tillman is a beast, and he put the lockdown, okay, the lockdown on your boy Calvin Johnson. If it wasn't for that last touchdown, and if your boy Stafford would have thrown an interception, I was in a dogfight in one of my fantasy leagues against Dream Team, against our boy Rodney Watts, and I just lost by a couple of points. I was down two, and then when he threw a touchdown, then I went down to
That Chicago defense, Tillman and Briggs and Jennings and Urlacher.
Incredible.
They
get at it. They play some football.
You think, though, this is because they're getting up there. They're getting a little long in the tooth, especially Urlacher with all of his injury problems. And Briggs is not a young, you know, in football terms, is not a spring chicken anymore. And, you know, of course, Julius Peppers, our boy from Carolina. You know, you're expecting every year that this is the year they're going to take a step back.
Not
and injuries and age is going to catch up with them, sort of like the Ravens the last, you know, especially since Terrell Suggs went down. But you know, the Bears are holding it down. The Bears keep moving on. I mean, they
you know what it is, though? Let me say this.
That defense.
I think what's the difference between the Bears' defense and the Steelers and Ravens in terms of aging? The Bears, they kind of like the Ravens, and the Steelers need to learn from both of them. But the Bears more so, even more so than the Ravens, are complete ball hawks, and they punch it out. They made Jock Bell fumble. They made LeSure fumble. They go after that ball like nobody's business. And, you know, I don't know if that's Lovey or if it's the defensive coordinator, but they go after it. So kudos to them, man. I'm feeling that Bears defense, which I have in, you know, one of my fantasy leagues. So, you know, I'm down with the Bears. I know my boy Bernard Jett is a big Bears fan, so I got to shout him out, you know. But there's a lot of Bear fans out there. They come out the woodworks, you know. Once the Bears start winning, all the Dicka, you know, Saturday Night Live and the Dicka crew will come back out, you know, and, you know, we'll see what happens, man. So let's get into some of this Thursday night stuff, man. Week 8 in the NFL.
Yes, yes, yes. So, well, let's, like we always do, let's, you know, public service announcement, let's tell everybody who the buys are so they know, especially tonight, if you got to make those sit-em decisions on Wednesday,
we're going to have to tell them on Sunday.
But
some fantasy love. We'll give them some fantasy love.
Exactly. So here we go. On bye, we have the Buffalo Bills, the Cincinnati Bengals, the Baltimore Ravens, and the Houston Texans. So we've got some decent offensive firepower going on by. We got obviously Arian Foster and Matt Schaub, and we've got Ray Rice, and we've got A.J. Green.
He leads the league, your boy Foster, in attempts, rushes, and touchdowns. He's the man.
He's the real deal. You know, I don't know what happened to him between his junior and senior year at Tennessee, and then he ends up being not drafted, but he's the real deal. He's the best runner in the game. I mean, your boy Adrian Peterson is a miracle, and maybe next year he'll reclaim his title. But for the last 2 years, it's Arian Foster. As we digress, but we got to give Arian his love.
Oh, and also, you know, Mario Williams has surgery. He'll be okay with the bye week. Yeah, the quick little wrist
hand,
surgery.
Right, he elected to have the surgery on his hand. So for all you Buffalo fans, you got to hope your $100 million man comes back next week and delivers.
He's only really, to be honest, he's only had like 1.5 good games so far.
Yeah, well, I hope it's not a trend, you know, with these big defensive ends like Haynesworth and Mario Williams.
Are you all
Williams.
Sad that Evan Longoria broke up with Mark Sanchez?
Look, I'm all about whatever impacts your game on the court. Tony Parker got divorced from her, and his game went through the roof.
Best season ever.
Tony Parker was the man. So maybe Sanchez, maybe this will turn his game around. Maybe he won't fumble the ball and get sacked by Rod Ninkovich and
let's get it together, Mark.
In the game.
So anyway, yeah. So you know, Steven Jackson's on the bye. I mean, I'm Fred Jackson, Spiller, all those guys, Fitzpatrick, all your Bengals, Dalton, AJ Green. So you know. So let me ask you this: if you could, would you pick up a Rashard Jennings this week? And the question is, would you play him over someone like Felix Jones if you got him in over Murray? Or do you pick up a Philip Tanner, a running back for the Cowboys? Do you, you know, play a Rashard Jennings over a Steven Jackson because his carries are not as strong because of Darrell Richardson? You know, like, where do you really put Jennings?
Well, I would play
really
him over Steven Jackson because maybe Steven's getting a little long in the tooth, but I still like him. I am going to pick up – I'm number two on the waiver wire, and I hope Stacy's not listening. Coast to Coast is ahead of me. But I'm going to pick up Rashard Jennings because I need to handcuff him to Maurice Jones-Drew. So if you have Maurice Jones-Drew, you definitely need to pick up Rashard Jennings because you don't know how long MJD is going to be out. The problem I have with Jennings is that he's not that good. I mean, either his
offensive line, he's
very average. But the good thing about it for him and for his sake is he'll get 20 carries. So at least he'll get the touches. The problem is if you pick up a guy like Tanner in Dallas – he might not get the 20 touches because until and unless Felix Jones gets hurt, you know, he'll only be getting 5 to 10 carries. So Rashard Jennings, to me, at least gets the carries. Now, he's not the player that Steven Jackson is, and even with Richardson, you know, breathing down his neck, I still like Steven Jackson better. But if you're in desperate need of a guy that's going to get you carries, see, the problem with all these guys like Jacques Bell and Danny Woodhead and Tanner and these second – the second backs, third backs, is very hit or miss because they may not get you enough touches. At least you know that Rashard Jennings, for this week, maybe he might fumble twice and get dropped down on the depth chart. But you know, at least you know this week he'll get his 20 carries. He'll touch the ball 20 times, maybe 25. So he came off that knee injury in week one, but he's healthy now, so he'll be getting his touches. Now he might do what he did before, which was what, like 21 for 44. But I'd rather have the guy that gets the ball because if you don't have the ball, then you
can't
don't
do
have a chance to break a run. Yeah. So to
right.
me,
and
I
then
like
what's
the
interesting,
fact that he's getting his carries.
Right. And then what's interesting also is, do you, if you already picked him up, do you play Dwyer again? Will he get the touches because Mendenhall and Redmond are still questionable about coming back this week? You know,
yeah,
like
well,
so
how, what's your Mike Tomlin pipeline? You got you got his number?
Well,
can
listen, I'm going to tell you, I think that they got a roll against the Redskins. Redskins can't stick anybody. I think it's going to be all about Big Ben this week. I think Dwyer could rush for 60, 70 yards, but I think you start Heath Miller. You start Wallace. You start Brown. You might even pick up Cotchery and Sanders. You know, Ben's going to get about 330 yards passing this week.
Maybe
and RG3 will probably get 300.
Wait,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Lynn
yeah,
Swan
go get Bernie
Stallworth.
Cunningham, Stallworth, and Lynn Swan. Player?
Can you get Rocky Blyer, Franco Harris? All
right, don't make me cry, man. Everybody
Louis
knows,
Lips?
You know.
Is Louis Lips available?
My Steelers, diehard Steelers fan, man. So, anyway, let's jump into this Thursday night game. As we were talking about the NFC North, the Purple People Eaters are in full effect. The Vikings, Jared Allen, the defense, the kid, the lineman, Brian Robinson, he's play unsung hero over there. The secondary's tough. The young kid that they drafted, he was, James Robinson? The young secondary guy. Their defense is just tough, okay? They're all over the place. Your boy Greenway, he's doing it. I know for you in
That's
fantasy,
my man
he's doing it.
Tackles, Chad Greenway.
So I agree with you. He's doing it up. But right now, I like the balance. I like how Ponder, he doesn't make too many mistakes. You've got AP. You've got, and plus they're at home. Short week, so that helps. But you've got AP. You've got Jerome Simpson, who's starting to, I think he's starting to wake up back in the offense.
He's
Percy
solid.
Harvin, Kyle
I
Rudolph.
Like-
Yeah, no. You really have to. And I just think, you know, and having Michael Jenkins as a third option, I think the Vikings at home will have enough. But the thing is, wait a minute, stop the presses. Josh Freeman woke up, threw for 420, and it seems like the Tampa Bay offense, it's legit, right, with Doug
Vincent
Martin.
Vincent Jackson caught seven balls for over 200 yards, setting a Tampa Bay all-time franchise record.
And Mike Williams is nice. Dallas Clark is showing up when needed, and Doug Martin. So, you know, we could actually have, and I think it's going to be, kind of an offensive explosion in on the turf. I think teams will be a little bit, you know, tired. So I think the offenses will have a little bit of advantage, right? Now, all these weeks on these Thursday night games, the home team has won, except for when the Giants went to Carolina and took care of them. So for me, I think the Vikings are going to win, but I think it's going to be a shootout, and your boy Greg Schiano is going to be losing his mind again because I just think the Vikings will edge it out. I got the Vikings winning. I was going to say 28-27, but I'm going to say 30-27. The Vikings edge out the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Thursday night football.
You know what? I'm going to go with an upset here.
Woo!
Because if, in fact, it's a shootout, I have a feeling that, easier said than done, but if you can stop Percy Harvin and you can maintain Adrian Peterson, I didn't say stop him, then Christian Ponder is not the real deal. I'm not a big fan of Christian Ponder's. So if you get into a shootout scenario and you force Christian Ponder to make some mistakes and not go to his comfort, who's turning out to be his BFF, Percy Harvin, and limit the damage that Adrian Peterson does, let's say he gets 80 on the ground. And this Tampa Bay team could, a lot of ands, right? And.
Well, I was going to say, because Tampa defense ain't.
But I'm saying, in a shootout scenario where Freeman put up his 400, and if Doug Martin and LeGarrette Blount can move the ball a little bit, and then the big plays by Williams and Jackson, I'm going for an upset. You know what? On a short week, on the road, it's hard. It's going against the grain a little bit. But you know what? Josh Freeman on national TV is going to represent Kansas State like his boy Klein and say, look, I'm a K-State quarterback. I was a first rounder.
Respect us.
Exactly. So he'll
I'm
do
the
it
father
Colin
to his
Klein, Colin Klein, and go out there and win in Minnesota. So I'm predicting an upset.
Okay.
Well,
Tampa listen, you're going to be that bold.
30.
You got to be bold with a score player.
Yeah. Tampa Bay 30 and Minnesota 21. So a little bit of a blowout, too.
Wow,
late touchdown.
30-21.
Yeah. Tampa Bay.
You're trying to get extravagant with your upset.
Yeah. Tampa, baby. 400 yards last week.
Hey, I got a special place in my heart for them Tampa teams, man. My dad was from Tampa, so I always secretly root for, you know, the Tampa Bay team. So I won't be upset if your prediction comes true. But, yeah, it's either way, I do believe we will definitely have an entertaining game. It won't be like that Niner-Seahawk game, which was like, oh.
No, there'll
freaking
be more
Vernon,
offense in this game.
Freaking Vernon Davis putting up a zero, killing me in fantasy, boy. you oughta. And he's a terrapin. He's a terp. Come on, man. Anyway, well, listen, man, let's take a quick break, and then we shall jump right in to our special Wednesday segment, Where You At.
Where You At.
And we normally focus on, you know, one cat and see where he's at, but this week we have a two dudes, an 80s special, quarterback special. All right, Rante.
Today's Wednesday. Tell them what that means. Say.
where you at? shout out to all my hip hop heads. You know what I'm saying? I had to throw it out there to folks, man. You know, Naughty by Nature, Nice and Smooth, man. Which group you rock with? It's interesting to see how people talk about it, right? Because cats are like, oh, well, Tretch, Vinny, better lyricist. But yo, Greg Nice is the first dude to blow up that really never, you know, was saying nothing. And yo, Smooth B used to spit it though. You know what I'm saying? It's hard. For me personally, I got to go with Nice and Smooth just because it's like Greg.
Because you're a hip-hop
Greg
junkie.
Nice. Greg N-I-C-E. D-Wick. Yo, let me tell her. Me, my boy Rich, and Josh, we were at the Academy and saw D-Wick perform for the first time, a little hip-hop history, first time live with my man R.I.P. Guru, rest in peace, right? They do D-Wick live. But what was crazy is that Guru freestyled a remix verse right there on the spot. You know, maybe he wrote it, whatever, you know, this, you know, true freestyles off the top, right? So he probably wrote it, but it was a new verse for D-Wick, and it was the first time they'd ever performed it live. The joint had just dropped like a couple weeks, and it was like Thanksgiving weekend, and we was home in New York. Rakim comes out, first time about to see Rakim, right? Get halfway through the first song, he's like, you know, Microphone Fiend, or he was doing I Ain't No Joke, and all of a sudden gunshots rain out. Ugh. And I was like, where you at? Because I didn't get to see Rakim.
Wow.
A little hip hop history, man. I tell you.
All right. Well, let's set it up. Let's set it up for the audience. Now, on Saturday at 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
in Norman, Oklahoma.
Oh,
we'll
yeah.
We'll do our college football preview on Friday, but just to let
yeah.
set up this
And we
segment,
will preview this game.
We have number 5 Notre Dame Fighting Irish playing at the number 8 Oklahoma Sooners.
And this might be their biggest game since like 98, Notre Dame.
Sure. If they
yeah.
win this game on the road, that's a top. They become a top 3 or 4 team. Although I don't know where they move with K-State. Well, K-State's got a tough game against Texas Tech, but yeah, that's a big game.
Somebody's got to lose, basically. Oregon or somebody's got to lose.
Exactly.
And maybe Florida loses to Georgia. So we'll see.
So we thought to ourselves, okay, these are two storied programs who were
yeah.
both good, sometimes at the same time and sometimes at different times, but. They were definitely both legitimate in the 1980s. And we thought to ourselves, okay, with Notre Dame playing Oklahoma, wouldn't it be nice to throw out a where are you at to a couple of option quarterbacks from the 80s from Notre Dame and from Oklahoma? Turns out, that both of these cats were born a few months apart.
Yeah,
1967. So take it away. Pick one and let us know.
No. For me, I'll start off, and we'll both, you know, jump in. But I'll start off with my – listen, I didn't like Notre Dame, never have, never will. But I surely did like your man, Tony Rice, okay, the quarterback – of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Yes, he was like the first, I guess, Prop 48 guy, you know, that people talked stuff about the kid, you know, 2.0 grade point average, 700, didn't get the 700 or whatever, or got it on SATs.
He got 690, I think. He got 690
yeah.
on his SATs, and they
yeah,
were killing him because he was the first Prop 48, first major
you know,
Prop 48.
Hey, listen, we don't even need to get into all that stuff. But it's, you know. It's stuff that people remember and know about. But I think the most interesting thing about him is he was the man. It was under Lou Holtz. And every Saturday, you know, and especially in 88 when they wound up winning the national championship, he was the rushing, like, god. His career, what did he have? He had over 2,000 rushing yards in his career.
Yeah, Tony Rice was the real deal. He was fast. He ran a 4.5 40. He came in 86, was in that Prop 48 year, and then in 87 he went 8-4. So you said, okay,
he's starting to look good.
And then in 88, this was the year of years for Notre Dame. So So Tony Rice leading them. Now let me just tell you, this was an unbelievable stat. I didn't realize this stat, right? I remembered Rocket Ismail, and they had, you know, Ricky Waters on offense, and then Todd Lyon. They also had Chris Zorich on defense. But on that team, 21 of the 22 starters on that team went on to play in the NFL. The only one who didn't was Tony Rice.
Tony Rice.
So he was the leader of leaders on that team, and yet he didn't even have the game to go that translated to the NFL. He ended up playing in the CFL, and then he played in Europe and Barcelona. But we're focusing on him in college. So in
right, but what was so great, you remember in 88 when Miami was number one and Notre Dame was ranked number four, and then they met up in the big game in South Bend.
Right, Catholics versus convicts, remember
that?
Yeah,
October 15th, right? Oh, my gosh. And, you know, they were up, what, they were up 31-21 in the fourth quarter, and then the Hurricanes came.
Yeah, they came back, they won 31-30, right?
Came stomping back and won 31-30.
Well, in that year, they beat Miami, who was ranked number one. They beat USC, who was ranked number two. They beat West Virginia eventually in the Fiesta Bowl for the national championship. We'll talk about that. Remember Major Harris got hurt, though, but represent West Virginia.
Yeah.
And they beat Michigan. So they didn't duck anybody.
They had that big game against USC in the LA Coliseum and beat
number
two.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, that's their. You know, they play SC every year.
Yeah.
But
27-10.
Yeah,
that was
a great game.
I remember that.
Miami. Remember that whole thing? Catholics versus convicts. That was terrible. But in the national championship game, they went 12-0, so they went undefeated. And then they played West Virginia in the Fiesta Bowl, and they won 34-21. They beat Major Harris, and you know, his West Virginia team, they're outmatched, right? Clearly Notre Dame.
Yeah, now they didn't have the defense. And Notre Dame, like you said, they had all those pros. And not just that, Lou Holtz was, you can say what you want, but he was a great college coach. And Tony Rice was basically like a running back. I mean, he was so fast, but, you know, when he had
smooth
to pass it, third and five, whatever, he got it done. You know, he drove down the field and got it done. So, I mean, that whole season, his whole career, you know, 89 wasn't really, you know, it didn't work out the way 88 did. But Tony Rice was the man, you know. Tony Rice.
He was so smooth as a runner. And, you know, you looked at him and you didn't really project him out to be a great NFL quarterback. But in college, he was the ultimate weapon. He could throw the ball enough that he was a threat. He had 4-5 speed, so he could beat you to the corner. And then with Ricky Waters back there and Rocket Ismail, you know, you had to protect, you know, you couldn't just put all your focus on Tony Rice. Tony Rice had
and
some weapons around.
Ricky Waters
was
a freaking beast.
Yeah, if
and
you
Notre
forgot,
Dame.
Then you need to reacquaint yourself with Ricky Waters.
Ricky Waters was the man. But Tony Rice, man, that was, those were some good times. That was the one Notre Dame team that I could say I was like, you know, I don't like them, but Tony Rice and Ricky Waters and the Rocket, cats secretly that year were rooting a little bit for Notre Dame in 88. Because, I mean, not when they played Miami, though. I was definitely down with the Hurricanes. But, you know, Tony Rice, like you said, he had something about him that he never gave up. You know what I mean? Like, he had a warrior spirit, definitely, you know, and That's why we had to, you know, put them down in our where you at
Wednesday. And then let's move to the other side. So picture this. Most people remember a gentleman by the name of Troy Aikman at the Dallas Cowboys by way of UCLA. But you really need to go back in the archives and remember that Barry Switzer was his coach when they won that third Super Bowl in 1996. But he was also his coach in college for his first couple years. So Troy Aikman went to Norman, Oklahoma, thinking that he would be a traditional drop-back quarterback. in a system that really was a running back friendly and a mobile quarterback friendly system. So I don't know who sold him that bill of goods, but he got bamboozled a little bit. Not only did he get bamboozled, but in the first game in 1985, Troy Aikman goes out and breaks his foot against Miami. Yeah, he breaks his ankle against Miami, and which turns out to be the only loss of the season. And then a true freshman quarterback named Jamel Holloway. Jamel comes in there and takes over and ends up going as a true freshman, first true freshman to lead his team to the national championship, wins the next 11 games.
Yep, 11-1.
Exactly, and then wins the national championship over Penn State.
Oh, yeah.
So, woo, you talk about an option quarterback. Now, he's totally different from, I mean, same option type of quarterback, but totally different in size, in stature, in game from Tony Rice. So it's you know, people say, well, they're both option quarterbacks. But Jamel Holloway was short, quick, fast, like more herky-jerky, whereas Tony Rice was smoother, you know, and just had more, like, probably had straight speed. But, yeah, Jamel Holloway and the option that he ran in Norman, Oklahoma.
27-13 rushing yards in his career. So, I mean, 2,700 rushing yards in his career.
32 touchdowns.
I mean, that right there tells you, and it was really 5 yards a carry. So, I mean, basically in two carries, he's getting you a first down. I mean, that's like, that's crazy. He was the man. I mean, the one thing I will say about Jamel, now look, at this time, right, he's in the Big 12. He's going up against Nebraska.
No, at the time it was the Big 8. Remember, they hadn't even changed to the Big 12 yet. It was still the Big 8.
Okay, I'm sorry, it was the Big 8. But he's going up against Nebraska. Colorado was off and on good. They didn't have Texas yet because they didn't have the SWAC.
They had some competition there, but that was the Big Three, really. It was Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Colorado.
It was before Kansas and Kansas State and those type of schools started to get good, and Missouri. But it was, you know, the big battle every year was Oklahoma and Nebraska. But Jamel Holloway was special, man. I mean, he was entertaining. I don't know, to me, just as a freshman, that's what was so impressive. I mean, and then, you know, obviously Aikman couldn't get a spot back.
He had to transfer, to sit out that year, and then he transferred to Terry. He went and played for Terry Donahue over in UCLA, and then the rest is history for Troy Aikman. But, yeah, think about this. Jamel Holloway is a true freshman. Now, back in the days, you never had true freshmen. Everybody redshirted, especially if you were sitting behind Aikman anyway, you know. So most of these kids go out in redshirt, get bigger, learn the offense, and he came in as a true freshman and won 11 in a row to win the national championship, the first and only true freshman quarterback to bring his team to the national championship.
Probably put your boy Barry Switzer really over the edge in terms of getting the respect because, you know, I don't know. I mean, obviously, you know, you had Brian Bosworth and their linebackers and their defense. But Barry Switzer, you know, as people look at him now, kind of like, you know, he wins with the Cowboys after Jimmy Johnson left. And, you know, it was kind of just like, you know, he was there with Jerry Jones's friend and all that. But Barry Switzer, you know, had that respect in college as a great recruiter because Oklahoma's talent was off the charts. But then getting that championship, to me, it sort of legitimized Barry Switzer in his career, you know.
Yeah, he won in the 70s too, and then he won in the 80s. So he won several national championships, and then he did get a raw deal, you know, in Dallas. That they should have never fired Jimmy. They should have let Jimmy run it out and win as many as he could. But he was, you know, he was known for his athletes. He was known for his defense. He was known for running the wishbone. And, again, I don't know how he was able to recruit Troy Aikman, but he did. And then – you know, that one game opened up the way for Jamel Holloway. And the problem with Jamel Holloway for him was that he has this great freshman year. He wins the national championship. Nobody expected anything from him. And then where do you go from there? So in
and he had, remember
career,
that great pass? He had like a, what, a 71-yard touchdown pass?
71-yard, yeah, Keith Jackson.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about Keith Jackson.
You know, and that's kind of sad, though, because, yeah, he never played in the NFL.
No, he did, actually. He got drafted, and I don't know how many, you know, actual snaps he took, but he was on the Raiders in 89 and 90, and then in the
right.
CFL, he was with
but
the BC Lions.
Yeah.
In 91 and
92. I don't think he saw the field, though, for the Raiders.
Yeah. True,
you know.
True. But here's the worst part for Jamel Holloway, though, is that Troy Aikman breaks his ankle, repairs it, transfers to UCLA, goes on to have a Hall of Fame career, 3 Super Bowls. He's the man. Jamel Holloway tears his ACL in 87.
Yeah, that
really
was what really.
Never was the same. You know, to me,
no.
He tore his ACL in that Bernard King era where they would still
it was too early,
kind of
the technology.
Dig into your knee, and it was, and you never really saw people get back. I mean, think about this guy. Think about Willis McGahee, who tore 4 ligaments, right? He tore the ACL, the MCL, the PCL, all the CLs in his knee, right? All the Ls,
all
the ligaments.
CLs moves.
Yeah, all the CLs. and think about Adrian Peterson, who tears up his knee and, you know,
and
six,
back in like 2
six,
weeks.
7, 8 months later is back. And these cats like Bernard King and Jamel Holloway, and that was still in the days when even as late as the late 80s, you were still missing time, and it took a good year or two to fully recover from these, you know, from these injuries. So
it's a shame, man. It's real hard, and I just
see
think
a runner
that,
like
know,
Jamel Holloway.
Yeah, you know, it makes you wonder if he had that type of technology, would he have been able to bounce back and maybe have a career? But, you know, we'll never know. But I got to say that's, you know, listen, it's memory lane for us cats who know college sports and remember those times in the 80s, and you remember Oklahoma and Notre Dame. This Saturday, when you sit down and watch that game, and it's going to be a great game, just remember Ray and Tay, and are where you at, and just think about Tony Rice and Jamel Holloway. And check out their highlights, man, because them cats, they were some bad boys, you know. They were like early era black quarterbacks, but, you know, just couldn't get it. Didn't really have pure throwing arms, you know, to make it to the NFL. So it wasn't like either one of them got jerked because they were, you know, black quarterbacks. They really didn't have that type of ability.
NFL type of game, yeah.
To be, you know, they were undersized and they, you know, they didn't have cannon of arm, you know, accurate, you know, arms. So, but they definitely get your heart though, man, because they're both champions.
Yeah, that's the essence of college football. You know, Saturday rooting for guys. Maybe they won't make it on Sunday. Maybe they won't be NFL stars. Because what's interesting, you know, also Tony Rice is that he lost Tim Brown. So he only went 8-4 with the team where Tim Brown wins the Heisman Trophy and, you know, is a high draft pick. And he goes out there and the next year, you know, goes out and wins 11 games or 12 games. Goes 12-0. But that's the epitome of college, you know. You make the best of your 4 years in college and, you know, brings together a campus, in his case in South Bend or in Norman, Oklahoma. And those Saturday mornings are unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, nationwide, you know, and you talk about the great crowds and the great fans. And, you know, at those two schools, those guys are legends. They are true, true football legends.
And they should be, because they put in their time and they won national championships. I mean, those guys are the real deal.
Yeah, definitely. Well, listen, that's where you at, and you can, you know, listen, we also take suggestions. We've had some good ones, especially for basketball, and we will start them up probably coming up next week because we are going to get real heavy as baseball is winding down with the NBA and the season starting next Tuesday. And Monday we've got our preview show. We're on for, you know, an hour and a half on Monday, 7, 8:30. So, you know, we'll have some great where you at with the NBA and college basketball and different cats. So keep sending us those emails at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Let's take a quick break, Ray, and then we will jump into
the preview World Series.
Of the 2012,
even though it's only played in the U.S. but we
World
still call it the
Series.
World Series.
The American World Series.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're going to rename it. The American.
It's not even North American. It's just the American.
The American World Series. Nah, that's wrong. All right, we'll be right back.
Right, we're back. We're back, and we're ready to talk some baseball.
Baseball has been very, very good to me. Well, you know what's interesting? The first thing I got to say, I definitely give kudos to Ray. He had half the World Series correct. I, unfortunately, didn't have either of it correct, although I had the Tigers and the ALCS. But he definitely had the Giants, and they pulled off a miracle. I did predict them to, you know, take it to seven against St. Louis, but I thought the Cards could turn it around, but the Giants could not. So kudos, you know, to the Giants for their victory. And now we have game one, a well-rested Tiger team against a hot San Francisco Giant team who's at home. And I believe for the World Series, this is going to be 2-3-2, correct?
Yes, it's 2-3-2, and because of – and here's the irony of all ironies. Because of Melky Cabrera – But also Pablo Sandoval and Matt Cain. Ironically enough, these two pitchers, not the pitchers going tonight, we'll go through the pitching matches, not Verlander and Zito, but Verlander and Cain were the starting pitchers in
the All-Star game.
So it was Detroit. It was
the National League dominated.
Exactly.
And
it was
won.
Like a highlight of a preview of what was to come. So by virtue of that, the National League team, San Francisco, has home field advantage. So it's 2-3-2, yeah. So it's San Francisco games on Wednesday and Thursday, and then they go to Detroit for Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then back to San Francisco if necessary.
If necessary. Well, the first thing that jumps off at me, I mean, obviously tonight we have Verlander versus Zito. You got your boy, Delmon Young, playing in outfield. He hasn't played in outfield in 67 days.
67 days and like 40 pounds ago. Delmon Young got big.
Yeah, no,
Remember when Delmon Young was a young stud, the number one pick from Tampa Bay, and he was the young, you know, young stud outfield.
Yeah.
He's not that old. He got big.
Yeah.
Delmon got to hit the treadmill a little bit.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But he's clutch, though. He's clutch. He was killing the Yankees. He got all of those clutch hits. He had those two line drive bullet clutch home runs and those opposite field hits. So even more than Fielder and Cabrera and everybody else, Delmon Young was their most legitimate hitter.
They have to put him in outfield, right? And so everybody needs to know, if you don't know, in the NL parks, there will be no DH, right? Your pitcher's got a bat. And then in the AL park in Detroit, you know, the Giants for the first time will have an extra bat and have a DH. And Delvin Young will, for those three games, you know, if it's three games or if it's two, will go back to being a DH. I think you have to have his bat in the lineup, so he'll be in the outfield. And tonight is going to be interesting, right, because the advantage for the Giants is they're hot in the momentum and they get to stay at home. So, you know, if you had, you know, just finished up your series and you had to go travel, then I think it really hurt you. But I think, you know, having a couple days off, right, they had 2 days off before they get to play and they're staying at home, I don't think it's going to be too much of an issue. If anything, you worry about the Tigers' bats, right, being hot. But, you know, as everyone says, you know, your momentum is you know, next day starter. And for me, Verlander is the best pitcher on earth right now.
Yeah, he's real deal. And I think they win this game big. I think they might win something like 6-1 or something like that, because I think Zito is so up and down. So Zito and Lincecum are like Jekyll and Hyde. I mean, Lincecum obviously with his two Cy Youngs is well, he's pitching out of the bullpen. He's actually not starting in this series. But
Start him game two. They said that.
No, they announced Bumgarner in game two.
Oh, okay.
So they're going Zito, Bumgarner, Vogelsong, and Kane as their four starters.
Kane.
Yes, K-A-N-E, except for
well, but your boy Vogelsong, he's been pitching the lights out.
Yeah.
So
the only weak link really is Barry Zito, but in his last game, remember, he pitched the gem against St. Louis, the game that they had to win to stay in that
series. The game of his career, he said.
Yeah,
so.
7 2/3 and no earned runs. But,
well, for me, I don't think tonight, I don't think Zito will do bad. I think he'll step up to the plate. But I just see the Tigers, you know, winning, but not as much as you. But I think it's going to be a close one. I could see something like 3-1 Tigers. You know, I don't know if they'll, you know, listen, the Giants have got some clutch hitters, right? Some clutch bats.
Yeah.
Boy,
Scudero is unbelievable. So let me read you these lineups, and then tell me what you think about these lineups. Because at first, on first glance, I'm thinking Detroit has got a great, you know, a better lineup, but San Francisco is so clutch that everybody, even if they're not hitting great, like they're not hitting statistically 350 or 400, they're all getting clutch hits.
Yeah.
So, all right, so the road team is Detroit. So they're looking at Austin Jackson in center field, Omar Infante at second, Cabrera at third, Fielder at first, Delman Young in left field, Johnny Peralta at short, the 21-year-old rookie Garcia in right field, Alex Avila catching, and then obviously Verlander hitting ninth. And then in San Francisco,
that's because they like Avila catching Verlander.
Yeah. No, Avila's nice. He had a great offensive year 2 years ago, and this past year he sort of came back down to earth. And then San Francisco is Angel Pagan in center, Marco Scudero at second, Pablo Sandoval at third, Buster Posey catching, Hunter Pence, who's also been the spark plug in right field. And remember, Hunter Pence came over midseason,
just like
Cody Ross did 2 years ago. So
the big move,
the
big pickup.
Yeah, Pence and Scudero actually are midseason pickups. So then they got Belt at first, Gregor Blanco in left, Brandon Crawford at short, and Barry Zito pitching. So, you know, these two teams, the more I look at it, are pretty evenly matched. It might just come down to pitching, as it usually does, starting pitching. I just think Verlander is so tough. And he's more or less on his natural rest. Because he's the one. The other guys are going to be on some weird rest schedule, right? Because Verlander beat the Yankees, when was it, Thursday?
Yeah.
Friday, something like that? So he beat the Yankees, and so he'll be on 5 days rest maybe. And then the problem is the rest of the rotation. So Pfister, Sanchez, and Scherzer are all going to be on 6, 7, 8 days rest. Because they're pitching way out of rotation.
But, you know, this time of season, I don't think that's going to hurt a pitcher because you know what they do? The second, third day, they do like a little, you know, they do their throwing, do a little toss.
Side session.
You know, side session. So I actually think it benefits them because when you're pitching and it gets colder out, you know, I mean, even sometimes in San Fran this type of year, you don't know. It could be 60s or it could be, you know, 70s. It could hit in the 50s. Detroit's going to be chilly. You need a little bit of rest. You know, guys' arms are tired. It's been a long season. So having an extra day or two, I don't think that hurts them.
All right. So what are you thinking about for the game and for the series?
Well, I said 3-1 for the game. I'm picking the Tigers in six.
Okay.
So I think they make it back. I think the Giants, I think they wind up splitting here. And then maybe they, you know, go back and forth. Giants obviously, you know, would win two. And then I think, Detroit winds up pulling it out last two in a row or whether it's, you know, however it breaks out. But I have the Tigers in six. And I think on the road in game six, they pull it out.
Yeah, I like Detroit big this game. I think 6-1. I think that Verlander holds them down. I think Zito gets hit a little bit. You know, it all comes down, for me, for Detroit, they have issues with their bullpen. So it all comes down to how long the starters can go and what they do at the back end of the bullpen with Coke and Valverde. They need to make some decisions on what they do. And I'm not sure if the Giants' hitting can continue. So I like 6-1 Tigers in this game, and I also like the Tigers winning the series as well. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say the Tigers win in 5. I think they'll win one out of 2 here, and then maybe they take all 3 in San Francisco. I think once they go up 3-1, they'll just bring Verlander back, and then he'll put his foot on their throat. So as much as I like my Giants and my Giants fans, I think that their hot streak ends right here. I thought this would be the Yankees. It wasn't. But, yeah, I like the Tigers in this series. Maybe
I actually got a little
5.
MVP pick. I think your boy Prince steps up. I think Prince Fielder finds a way to get it done offensively. You know, the big cat and Dumb and Young could do different things. And, you know, some of the other batters, you know, Jackson, you know, getting on base. I think Prince Fielder is going to show and prove and will win the World Series MVP.
Okay. And I got the MVP being, I don't want to hedge here. I was going to say Verlander because I think he'll win games 1 and 5. And, of course, if he wins 1 and 5, he'll win the MVP. But if I had to pick a position player on the, you know, on the don't tell anybody, Johnny Peralta. You know, here's a guy who was hitting up until about a year and a half ago, and then I actually picked him up in a fantasy baseball league, and he killed me. But, yeah, I like Johnny Peralta, because think about all these people that will be ahead of him on base, potentially, Cabrera and Fielder and Young. They might walk all these guys, and then Johnny Peralta will be hitting with the bases loaded. So I like Johnny Peralta. I like Johnny Peralta to have a big series. I like Detroit to have a big series, and I like them to win the series.
All right. Well, listen, hey, I mean, I hope everybody enjoyed the show and enjoys Thursday night game and, the first game of the World Series tonight. It's definitely going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. And, you just want good baseball. I mean, like I said, I like 7-game series. Because I just like it just for the drama and for it to just play out, right? But 5 or 6, either way, we both got the Tigers. I definitely got to shout out Denise. She's my friend over at Physical Therapy Rehab Plus. She's big-time Tiger fan, so she's going crazy right now, and she's hoping the Tigers are going to win.
Let me give you a word of advice. Don't go the day after a Tiger loss. So if you got some physical therapy scheduled, don't show up the day after the Tigers lose.
I might take frustrations out
on you.
Yeah, I just go and get my workout on. So, trying to get it popping. And obviously we've got the New York Knicks 10 and the Brooklyn Nets 14, and a little preseason battle. So we'll be talking. Monday is the preview. We'll catch you Friday. Check us out. Thanks for listening. Check us out Friday. We'll be back 7 o'clock. And, thanks to all the fans showing us a lot of love. People have been really blowing up our shows. We're really moving up in the ratings, doing good. Good things for Ray and Tay today. And we'll see you Friday at 7, Top 5 Fridays, the college football, picks and previews, the NFL, all the games. We'll talk about Thursday and preview the NFL weekend. So,
And folks out there, we want to say thank you. We really do this for the fans. We really appreciate your time and listening to us. And we love to be interactive. So if you want, and we've got some emails backed up, so we'll get to those. Apologize to all those people that have sent emails.
Yeah, definitely on Friday we'll get to some emails.
We'll get to your emails. And remember, it's Ray and Tay Today. That's RAEANDTAYTODAY @gmail.com. On Twitter, on Facebook. So send us your thoughts. Tell us what you like about the show. Tell us what you don't like about the show. Tell us who you think you're interested in hearing about for Champs and Chumps, for where you're at Wednesday, for your Top 5 Friday. If you got any suggestions, let us know.
Yeah, we're going to have a good Top 5 Friday this Friday. So, and we'll leave you with a smooth, smooth joint from Eat Complete, Mixed Mamba by DJ Crazy Killer. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'll see you Friday.
All right, thanks for listening.
Enjoy game one.
We're out.
Thanks for talking sports with Ray.
Damn. suck, y'all. The blind DJ Crazy Killer, you know what I'm saying? And I got my mate, please. You know what I'm saying? About to talk about something real. Something real gifted.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Hey, yo, politics with hicks used to make my tummy sick. Now I'm so sick of it. I'm tired of it. Yeah, the media's got all these lies. Trust me when I say they brainwash you guys. Whether it's Channel 247 or CNN, either way, they're playing your brain. Trust me, friends, you don't know what they do to you because you don't understand. You have no clue. It's not a board game or a TV show. But reality TV has got you so lost, yo.
Yeah.
You think television and all the stars and all of their business will take you to Mars. But if they travel and go with the flow, they'll leave you behind the regular people, yo. No dough, no flow, no way to go. You need a little savior, but change your behavior. You need to read and study and just see. It's more than WBAI, baby. It's more than just reading the Times or Wall Street Journal. It's more than Sojourner Truth, and I'm a turn you to a place where you can start to seek. Maybe you need to lift up the lies and take a peek. But what they're doing is what they did. They love to just kill you and listen what they did. From Silverstein, Giuliani, Cheney Bush, Rumsfeld, and Condoleezza, it's push.
9/11.
All the lies pass all of your brains. You can't maintain if you go against the grain. So Democrat, Republican, poor or rich, or black and white, we're all going in the dish. They got all these secret societies and commissions that will travel the seven seas. Confuse you and use you till you ain't new no more.
Mason.
So please don't let your soul hit the floor.
Illuminati.
If you're dancing with the devil, give your spirit a sore. Damn, I really want to scream. Been changing our existence and limiting our dream. Those dirty dream rushes with an army that been rushing in on demand. The final stand, the life and the life off the right, just right. And stop the evil plight. And let's get ready to fight. Can all my real people just scream or write?
Right.
On your twist and turn, my tongue will make you burn. And yearn, you never earn. Be healthy and wise to avoid the created germ.
Hey.
It's not a permanent perm. Don't you understand? It's not chilling with big worms.
Big worm.
It's past a Friday. I spit it my way. Don't you understand? They're gonna run a big highway.